Good evening. Good to see all of you here. It's good to have visitors with us. We had a wonderful time in the youth zone. We had over 20 tonight in the youth zone, and had one bus rider when it got here. We had to call the parent to come get him. She started crying about halfway through with a bad earache. Little Kylie. She'll remember Kylie in prayer that it would not be anything serious. Had a good visit today with the two that's in the hospital still, Brother Bill. They're going to shock him on Friday. His heart is out of rhythm because of the pneumonia. And so they're going to put him to sleep, shock him on Friday. Hopefully he'll be home by Saturday. Sister Myra said she possibly will be out tomorrow. They were starting a blood transfusion when I got there today. Her count had dropped by a margin that they thought they needed to do it. So be in prayer for Sister Meyer and Brother Bill as they still are in the hospital. All right, we're going to be in Psalms 35 tonight. Remember, if you have any next door neighbor kids or anything, tell them about the Bible clubs. We've got to be diligent about reaching out to folks. It still works going out door to door. We had family visiting Sunday because of the men's visitation last Thursday. And so that is a blessing. So it still works. A lot of kids in your neighborhood may not know that there's a Bible club that they can attend. And so we need to get our junior Bible club back up. It is getting a little low, and so we need to work at getting them in. And the only way you're going to get them in is you bring them in. So we got to be faithful. If you see a family in your neighborhood with kids, tell them. And many times through the kids, we'll get the whole family in. So that is important that we do that and be busy about it. All right. Don't forget, ladies, you have your ladies' retreat. I think y'all be leaving here Friday, headed up to Eastland, and then coming back that night, and then leaving again Saturday, going up. Men, if you're going, I think we have 8 going to the men's advance in Tampa. Make sure you get your funds in so we can get that squared away. Don't forget, next Sunday we'll have Brother Stan Skorloff with us, missionary to the Jews, and he'll be speaking with us Sunday morning, Sunday night, about witnessing to Jewish folks. All right. Why should I be woeful? Dr. Al Stone said this. He said, I'm amazed at how many Christians do not have joy. We ought to have a realization that I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, and nothing else in this world. And if nothing else in this world, I will see Jesus Christ soon. And so 155 times in the Bible, the word joy is used, J-O-Y. But if you throw in the different variations of the word, about 187 times, you'll find in the Bible that God talks about joy. So that is an important thing to have, is joy, because too often we spend too much time in worry, threatened and down, we're troubled about this. And one verse, when I get down, one verse always comes to my head. It's John 14. If you believe in God, believe also in me. There's comfort there. When you don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be bothered. Don't let your heart be saddened. You believe in God, believe also in me. And boy, I tell you, it brings joy to my heart to know that one day I am going to see Jesus Christ, my Savior, because He is worthy. Not because I'm worthy, but because He is worthy. He was found worthy, to come to this earth, to die on the cross of Calvary, to save any that would believe upon Him. And so I believe it's very important that God would put so many different variations of joy throughout the Word of God. He kind of just sprinkled them through there. The first place we'll look is in Psalms 35 and verse 27 and 28. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus groaned in the Spirit. The Bible tells us that Jesus wept. So He understands that there is sorrow and grief. He does understand that there is sorrow and grief. It's part of humanity. It certainly is part of humanity. Because of the sorrow and grief, the anxiety, the hardships that we go through, God wanted us to understand something, that our joy is very important. Psalms 35, verse number 27, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. Verse 28, and my tongue shall speak of Thy righteousness and of Thy praise all the day long. Do you have joy? I'm not talking about walking around with a big old smile on your face all the time, but there is definitely something about having possession of the Spirit of God in our life, because the Spirit of God brings fruit into our life. And once we're saved, the Spirit of God moves in, and the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace. Do you have joy? Because if you don't have joy, I'm not talking about walking around here giggling all the time. I'm talking about just simple joy that's brought about because we are God's child, and because it is the fruit that is born into our lives and comes out of our lives because of the Spirit. Do you possess the Spirit today? Does the Spirit possess you? Or do you quench the Spirit? Do you live in such a way that the joy that is a fruit of the Spirit, we cannot have the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit because of the lifestyles we live and choose and we're in? Go with me to Job, if you would. Job chapter number 20. Job chapter 20 and verse number 5. I believe this, contentment and godliness go hand in hand. And part of that, joy, if you're content in what you have, then that joy of the Lord will be there. Look at verse 5 in Job chapter 20, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. We look around us, and we look and we see what's going on and how things are going. We see folks that are not saved and they're wicked and they live ungodly lives, and it seems as though they are happy, or that they have a sort of joy. But real joy and real contentment and godly contentment and godly joy only comes by the fruit of the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. And so it seems as that the triumphing of the wicked, sometimes it just seems great, but God says it's short. God says that is just for a little bit, a little small time. I told you about a good friend of mine, Pastor Rusty Silvertooth. He pastors over in Livingston, Louisiana. And him and his brother are close to age. His brother seems to live for himself and for his, for the moment. And it seems as though, God is secondary in everything he does. And so, but Brother Rusty loves the Lord, loves people, pastors people, and has a good heart to pastor people and the flock of God, watch over it. Brother Rusty's the next to the last child was turning 16 years old, and Brother Rusty's wife came to him and said, "Hun, I do believe I'm with child." And the oldest was 16. He had many grown, but the one right before this one was 16. Well, that same week, his brother had entered a sweepstakes drawing and won a $12,000 bass boat. And you know, Brother Rush is thinking, well, Lord, what's going on here? He don't even love you, doesn't care for you. My quiver's full, I thought. And the child was born, and the child ended up having Down syndrome. After that, after the child was born, you think, where's the good in this? Where do you find joy in this? But you talk to Brother Rusty today, this has been over 9 years now. That child is the joy of their life. It's the joy of their life, and brings all kind of happiness, not only to Brother Rusty, but to the entire church over there. So do you really possess joy? Because if you don't possess the Holy Spirit of God tonight, then you can't be saved. Somebody look, I said something crazy. If you are saved tonight, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit of God lives within you. The fruit of the Holy Spirit of God is, part of it, joy. It is joy. Do you possess the Holy Spirit of God, the joy of God, I might say, in that way, and quit worrying about the wicked. Let God take care of the wicked. Their day is coming. They're going to stand at the judgment seat of God, whereas we that are born again are going to be at the bema seat of Christ. It's a completely different event. Oh, we will give an account for what we do, good or bad, in this body. But they that stand at the judgment seat stand there with the works of their hand. And when it's all said and done, death, hell, and the grave, all those will be placed into an everlasting fire which burns forever and forever and forever. Their time is coming. Their time is coming. Secondly, I tell you this. Go with me to Psalm 16. The presence of the Lord produces joy. So the possession of the Holy Spirit of God, because we're born again, brings about a manifestation of the fruit, joy, and then the presence of the Lord. Psalm 16. And verse number 11. Psalm 16 and verse number 11. The Bible says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, if John 3:16 is correct and absolute and settled and is the Word of God, then this is the Word of God. And I'm tired of hearing Christians saying, I can't have fun being a child of God. Because if John 3:16 is true, then Psalm 16:11 is true. And he says there that there is pleasures forevermore. Our problem is we want to have fun outside the presence of God. That is our problem. And that's a big difference. True joy. I tell you, I had fun tonight over there. I almost brought some a little game we was playing at the end of it. It's called, obviously... What was the name of the game? Oddly obviously. That is a tricky word. Oddly obviously. Did I say that correct? Okay. Say it. Somebody help me. Oddly obviously. Oddly. I'm going to have to go to the phonics. What was that old program they used to sell on TV? Hooked on Phonics. Oddly, anyways, on the back of the card, you had a card like this, and there was all kind of words twisted, wrote it this way, that way, and the one on this side would read the clue, and you had to find it all mixed up there. It was there, the answer was there. It was like, here's the answer. Like some of you guys take tests at school, and your teacher gives you every answer in the world, and you're still making D's. They can't make it no easier. I am amazed that here in Orange County, I don't know about Osceola County, but in Orange County, they passed a law a couple of years ago that the lowest grade you can make is a 50. You can miss everything on the test. The teacher still gives you a 50. Strange. That's odd. That's oddly, obviously, that we have somebody in education that is not educated. I got that one down, didn't I? We had fun. The kids weren't playing any PlayStation or any, Switch or anything like that. They were just playing a simple board game, and man, they were laughing and they were giggling. Why? Because the very presence of the Lord. You know, the Bible says where two or three is gathered together, there He is also. Amen. The presence of the Lord produces joy. And not only joy, what kind of joy did it say, Brother Jim? In that verse 11. What kind of joy? Fullness. Some of you half-cup Christians, you got to get out of that. Our cup is full. Well, how do you know, Pastor? Jesus said, the Bible says, I am saved to the uttermost. Fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Again, I'm not talking about just smiling. I'm talking simply being content that I am a child of the King. I am a child of the King. I personally think we need to condition ourselves to think that doing spiritual things is fun. Because I think the devil has tricked us that anything spiritual, whatsoever I do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. If anything spiritual going on, boy, it can't be fun. It's solemn. Oh, there's some solemn times there, friend. I'm telling you, when we take of the Lord's Supper, it's a solemn time. We sit and we ponder and we think about what Jesus has done, how His body was broken and the blood that was shed for us. Oh, it's solemn. That's a solemn time. But I'm telling you, boy, we gather together and we start singing praises. Listen, I'm telling you, dear friend, that a saint of God that has lived right, that has honored God by their life, and has shown everybody around them that they are in love with God and love with the things of God, when they pass away, it's a joyful time. Oh, I'm sad. I'm broken because of the missing of them. But it's a joyful time because I know they're in the presence of the King. So the presence of the Lord produces joy. Thirdly, the protecting of my heart produces joy. Go with me to Psalms 32. Psalms 51:12 says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit." Psalms 32, verse number 11. Psalm 32, verse number 11, the Bible says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." How many of you figured out that the heart is wicked above all? There's some wicked things going in our heart. You'll be deep prayer, and then all of a sudden a wicked thought just comes sweeping through your mind. And that's when we need the grace of God to rush in and wash through. Well, how's that happen? Because I'm guarding my heart. That's what it says. All ye that are upright in heart. Upright means you're righteous. You're upright in your heart. And things that are going on, you're protecting your heart. Some of you have forgotten the joy that you received the day that you trusted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. That's what happened with David. And that's why David said in Psalm 52:11, "Restore to me thy joy of the joy of thy salvation." God, the joy. We need God's joy. Amen. Some of you are not protecting your heart. You're just fooling around, twiddling around with this, that, and another. That there's no godliness at all in that. And you wonder why in the world you don't have the joy of the Lord. The because you're not guarding your heart. Some of you, some of us, and me included, there's times, dear friend, that the activities and things that we're involved in, there's no way the presence of the Lord could be around us. Got to be careful. Got to listen. They love darkness because their deeds are evil. Be careful fooling around with all that wicked stuff, thinking, well, I'm going to get away with here and there. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Be very careful with that. And I tell you what else. Go to Psalms 26:6. Psalms 26:6. So knowing that you're saved, the Spirit produces joy because it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. The presence of the Lord produces joy. Protecting my heart produces joy. Because you know why does that? Tell me, Pastor, why I'm protecting my heart? Because I'm not feeling guilty and I'm not convicted of the life I'm living. I'm not, you know, I'm recognizing that I am a child of the King. He said, I am low, I am with thee always, even to the end of the earth. I understand that the Holy Spirit of God lives within me, and so I protect my heart because I don't want to be convicted of the life of doing things in this life and robbing myself of the joy that I can have through that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms 126. Psalms 126 and verse number 6. Psalms 126 verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Planting the seed. You see, it's my job to plant and to water. I plant some days, I water some days. I water some days, I plant some days. But God bringeth the increase. God bringeth the increase. Remember the story I told you Sunday evening, whenever we was at the nursing home, that young man asked me, he said, Pastor, can I have a moment alone with you? And I went off into that room with him and began to talk with him. And he said, you know a man by the name of Poncho? So I know of him. I don't know him personally, but I know of him. And he said, well, he used to go out there to Lock Haven Baptist Church. I said, yes, sir, he did. He did. He said, I said to me, well, when I heard that you was from Lock Haven, I wanted to talk to you. I need to know the Lord is my Savior. And he came to an agreement. Listen, I wasn't there, but how long we was there, Brother Jim? 30 minutes at the most? Running around grabbing this resident, robbing this resident from the TV, bringing this one over from Bingo and putting them off in there just so we can sing a little while. And we sang. Brother Josh, how long did you preach, Brother Josh? About 8 minutes, maybe? Half the time holding Josiah. Who did I say? Joash. Joash. I just prophesied. Somebody else say amen. Joe, and they might be getting another baby here soon. We ought to pick the name. And he was holding it. Next thing we know, listen, that was God that brought the increase. All we did, somebody long ago had planted. Somebody long ago had watered. And in the right moment of that time, in the providence of God, that brought joy. That brought joy. And I'm telling you, planting and watering, it brings joy when you, listen, rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that comes to know Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. So get involved with different plants. Pass some tracts out. Talk to people about Jesus. Get involved in giving in missions and be faithful to giving weekly, bi-weekly or monthly in missions. And whenever we get a report back there, we re-report it. And so-and-so trusted Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. That's because you planted, because you watered, and brings joy in your heart. Fifth thing, go with me to 1 Peter and we're done. We've got to get the kids back home tonight. 1 Peter, chapter number 1. Look at verse number 6. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6. First Peter chapter 1, verse number 6, the Bible says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Why would we greatly rejoice? Though now for a season, doesn't it seem like sometimes it's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. Life is just out of way. You know, it's for a season. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Phew, I'm going to tell you, some days it's worse than others, ain't it? That's just how it is. Some days it just seems like every turn you take, every corner you turn, every time you look up, there's some kind of temptation there. And it brings heaviness. Through manifold temptation, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of joy, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Oh, dear friend, them temptations come. And when them failures happen, and when those transgressions of God's law take place, and the sins that so easily beset us, and the weights that so easily beset us, and they overtake us, repentant prayer brings joy. Brother Jim, when I bow my knee and I look up into heaven, I say, God, I'm sorry. I failed you. God, I was angry. God, bitterness rose in. God, I wasn't faithful. God, I said some vile things I shouldn't have said. He's faithful and just to forgive. And joy unspeakable sweeps into my heart again. And just, oh, how's your joy tonight? It's midweek. Tired, you work, you're here at the house of God. You know what's going to help you to keep that joy? You got to know you're saved, because that's the first step. We can't have God's joy if we're not saved. Can't. And God wants you to say, He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He's not any willing that any. So He wants you to have that joy. So do you have God? Are you saved? Are you walking right before the Lord? If you're saved, dear friend, there's a right way and a wrong way to walk. You've got to walk as His child, because now that you're saved, you are a part of His family. So you've got to walk right. If you're not walking right, dear friend, you're not going to have joy. You're not going to have no joy. That's called conviction. And when the Holy Spirit of God brings that conviction to get us right. And so you're walking right. If you're walking right, you should be protecting your heart. The Bible puts it like this, walking circumspectly, carefully, watching, being careful where I step. Are you protecting your heart? Out of it are the issues of life. You've got to protect your heart. Protect your heart there. And plant the seed. Dear friend, I'm going to tell you, plant the seed. You want your Sunday school class to grow? You've got to pass out some tracts. You've got to talk to people. You've got to invite people to church. You've got to go visit some people. We want the Lord to bless our church, continue to bless our church like He's been doing here. Dear friend, we've got to continue to reach out. We've got to be faithful to do so, because it brings joy. It brings joy in your heart when you see other people start to get their lives right and start to get involved and start laboring together instead of being a parasite. They're laboring together for a common cause. What's that common cause? For the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. Not for glory. We don't need vain glory. We need to wait to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, we love you. We thank you for this night. Lord, I pray as we get the kids back home on the bus, you'd protect and keep them safe. Lord, the word that we heard tonight, may we take heed. May we hide it into our heart. Lord, we may be found faithful in your work. Lord, if there's somebody lost here tonight, God, I pray they'd get saved. Lord, as we stand and we sing a song of invitation here in a moment, I pray you work in their heart, that you draw them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.